We are also pleased to have President Kimball here looking so well and blessing us with his inspired counsel and direction. The world loves and honors our prophet, but the saints love him even more. Probably nowhere did Jesus find more needed rest and happy hours than in Bethany, in the quiet house of that family who, according to John, he loved. This small village with this very special family was just outside Jerusalem on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. The family evidently consisted of Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. This quiet village, though only 2 miles from Jerusalem, was completely hidden from the bustle of the crowds and must have fed the soul of Jesus with love and peace. He must have felt welcome to share with this family's hospitality. They furnished not only comfort, but listened in deep conviction to his words. While Jesus was about his ministry, he received a solemn message that he whom he loved was sick. Lazarus was Jesus' intimate personal friend outside of the circle of the apostles. The scripture account tells us Jesus did not leave at once in response to the request, because he was occupied with his important work. But he sent word that he would come. 4 days later, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he stayed outside the little village, the record tells us, inasmuch as a large number of people, including distinguished Jews, had assembled to comfort and mourn with Mary and Martha. The sisters undoubtedly were disappointed in the Savior's delay. "Lord," said Martha, "if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." The Savior's brief reply undoubtedly brought comfort to Martha and rings out in hope to all the world, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha, we assume, not thinking it possible for her brother to awaken from the sleep of death, answered, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Then Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Martha's deep faith supplied the answer, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world." Martha, after having borne this strong witness, found Mary, who, hurrying to Jesus in agony, as had Martha, said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." These were his friends. These must have been moments of tender compassion for Jesus, undoubtedly deep emotion and wonderment for all who witnessed. Jesus said, "Where have ye laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Now his enemies, some of whom were there, were asking whether he, who had opened the eyes of the blind, could not have saved his friend from death. Jesus surely knew their thoughts and would have heard their comments as he viewed the crowd with its hired mourners. The burial tomb, typical of the time, probably was a recess cut in the rock with a stone over the entrance. Jesus asked that the stone be removed. He stood at the entrance and called, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. There were many witnesses to this miracle who believed. But there were others who would carry an alarming story to the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. As Jesus' fame grew, so grew the opposition from the chief priests, apprehensive that he would undermine the established order. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 apostles and said to them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and to the scribes, And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And on the third day he shall rise again. In an upper room, Jesus and his apostles were together for the last time. He taught them, saying, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after this manner also he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins." Thus establishing the pattern for the sacrament as a sacred ordinance in his church. In Gethsemane, Jesus knelt in prayer and poured out his soul. "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were as great as drops of blood falling to the ground. Following his betrayal, and when the morning was come, the chief priests and his enemies took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, and they bound him and led him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. He was taken to Calvary. At the third hour, they crucified Jesus, and with him they crucified two thieves. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And after 3 days, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women came to the sepulchre with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. They were greeted by a young man in a long white garment who announced, "He is not here. He is risen." Jesus showed himself first to Mary Magdalene and afterward to the apostles. For 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus remained with his disciples to instruct them more in the gospel. He told them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall soon come in like manner as ye have seen him now." We testify to all the world, as did the apostles of old, that this same Jesus taken up into heaven, as men watched, will return, that he will return in power and great glory, attended by the hosts of heaven. At that day the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. But prior to that day, as foretold by the prophets, there must be a restoration of all things in the last days, the fullness of the gospel with all of its saving powers to be returned to earth. We proclaim with knowledge and power, as witnesses of heavenly events, that the final great restoration has taken place, that angelic ministers have been sent from heaven, that God's voice has been heard declaring its truth, that the gift of the Holy Ghost and the priesthood powers with its blessings and promises have again been given to man. I declare this testimony to all of you, and I thank God for his revelation to his prophets, past and present, and for not leaving us alone. I declare to you, my friends and associates everywhere, my witness that God does live, that he made us in his own image. That